Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 23 of Sig Neutron Sputron. I'm Sig Neutron, and this is my podcast. I got a very special guest today. It's one of the guest-isodes. My pal, Ralph Atanasia, otherwise known as Cake Boss Ralph. You may know him from the show Cake Boss. He's the chocolate sculptor. I met him way back when I went to makeup school, the Tom Savini special effects makeup school thing. Ralph is definitely, I'm just saying, hands down, he's probably the funniest person I've ever met. And we became best buds back in makeup school, and we're always up to all kinds of shenanigans. But I love Ralph, and I'm sure you will too. So enjoy this very special episode of Sig Neutron Sputron with special guest Ralph Atanasia the third, if I do remember correctly.
Sig Neutron! Sleazy Sputron!
What are you gonna play? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna say? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna say? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna say? What are you gonna play? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna play? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna say? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna say? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna say? What are you gonna play? What are you gonna play today? What are you gonna play today? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna say today? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna say? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna say? What are you gonna play today? What are you gonna say? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna play? What are you gonna do today? What are you gonna say? What are you gonna play? What are you gonna do?
Hello, 8-bit breakdown.
Leave a lot of lonely motherfuckers.
Ralph, thanks for being here on my show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's lovely to be had.
I like these episodes because, especially with my friends, because then it's kind of like we're just catching up after not talking to each other for a long time.
We are technically and actually friends.
Yep. So I gotta set the scene here a little bit. Right before we were about to start, you said, "Hang on, I got a big shipment of fish coming today," and I'm thinking, "Okay, you just got a bunch of real fish to eat sent to your house," but. You go away for a minute and then come back with lots of fake fish and pirate hats. Can you explain to me what's going on? And just, I have to preface with, like, I expected nothing less. This is exactly what I expected from Ralph.
Yeah, the quality, I didn't realize that I accidentally ordered three different brands of very similar foam fish, and some of them are a little better quality than others. And I wish I had kept track of which ones were which, because now I don't know which to order in the future. Although I think I have enough to last me now. Anyway, moving on.
So
that didn't answer the question at all.
No, not at all.
I was going to try to just skate on past that. Skate, that's a little fish pun. No, so yeah, I know you're familiar with what LARPing is, but if your listeners aren't, it's a live action role play. It's like Dungeons and Dragons, but instead of rolling dice in someone's basement, you dress up like your character and you hit each other with foam weapons. It's really great.
Mm-hmm.
So where my friends and I are going to be attending a LARP next weekend, where we're going to be running a plot that has some pirate goblins who their captain is basically Lou Zealand from the Muppets. You know, the boomerang fish thrower guy? Yeah. He wears like a red coat with like the big Jacobean ruff around his neck. Hey, I throw the fish away, they come back to me. Him. So their captain is basically Lou Zealand, and we thought it would be really funny if he threw fish at people. And then we went on Amazon, and it turns out there are multiple brands of realistic foam fish that you can buy. So now I'm sitting in a pile of artificial saltwater fish at my kitchen table. I have an embarrassment of fishes.
You have an entire school over there.
Yeah, it's mostly, it seems to be mostly striped bass. That's the it's the most common fish in the bunch there.
So with LARPing, actually, you were the very first person to ever introduce me to LARP, and this was back in like 2008, maybe.
Yeah, that was basically prehistory at this point.
Yeah, I know, right? It seems like fucking forever ago.
It does. Some of these fish are much stickier than others.
So, for those of you that don't know, and I don't know why you would know, me and Ralph met at the Tom Savini School for Makeup Effects.
That's right.
We were in the same class together.
And yeah, we were very friends.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because we didn't know each other, but it was sculpture. Like the first impression that I got of you was we were in the sculpture class, and I didn't really have that much experience sculpting, and we had to do heads, and then you sculpted this like fucking awesome, perfectly anatomically correct head, and everybody's like gathering around you, like whoo, Ralph, and then I'm like not knowing you, I'm just like oh. So that's the guy, huh?
That's who I'm gunning for.
That's the guy. Got to get better then.
Yeah.
Then we
well, became... I did come to that school like straight on the heels of 3 years of like a traditional art education.
Yeah. So I guess okay. So let's back up and then let's hear the story of Ralph pre Savini, and then we'll tell some Savini stories, and then we'll talk post Ralph or post Savini Ralph. So you said you went to art school. Did you, you know what? You want to just take this? Take us through the story of Ralph.
All right. Let's see. Well, highlights.
Okay. Well, how did you, were you always just into art? Is that,
yeah. I've been drawing and sculpting for as long as I've been able to.
Mm-hmm. And so, okay. So you're into art. And then after you graduate high school, what do you do?
Well, after I graduated high school, I wasted a year at the University of Pittsburgh getting like a general liberal arts education in theory. In reality, what happened was I got very depressed and went, hello. Sorry, my fiance is here and she looks great right now. Yeah, so I got a general liberal arts education for a year. And by that, I mean I got depressed and rarely left my dorm and failed every class except for Norse mythology and intro to art.
Nice.
And I swore I would never move back to Pittsburgh. So I went to art school in Central Jersey for like 3 years. I got like a very traditional, fairly rigorous, you know, illustration and sculpture education. And then ran away and joined the sideshow for a summer.
Oh, do tell.
You knew this already, right? Yeah.
I know this, but...
That's right. We did so much stupid crap. Yeah, I had a friend who was in a traveling sideshow that did the carnival circuit. I went to visit her and I was like, man, I always wanted to do something like this. And she was like, well, I'll talk to my boss. And I wound up starting there the next day and I just ran away that summer and joined the circus. But after that, I wound up realizing that I didn't know what the hell I was going to do with the education I got from art school. So I found out about this Tom Savini program and went out back to the surrounds of Pittsburgh again.
So did you come straight from sideshow to Savini, basically?
No, it was actually the summer before. So it was the summer before my final year of art school. I finished up art school, realized I didn't know what the hell I was going to do with myself, and got an education that, you know, would potentially give me some marketable skills.
Hmm. Yeah, so what drew you to the Savini School of Makeup Effects?
Well, you know, I like monsters and shit, Brandon.
Yeah?
Oh, I'm sorry, it's sick. Sorry, it'll give you a clean one there. Well, I like monsters and shit, Sig.
You can call me Brandon. That's fine. It's
no
secret.
And then you can edit that. And then no one
will leaving
know.
It. It's staying. I'm leaving it.
This is going to be a real mess.
Yeah. No.
Oh,
monsters. So,
yeah,
okay,
I like
so
monsters and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it would be really cool to do. Yeah. I thought it would be really cool to make monsters for movies. And what I learned at the school. Oh, see, this is no good. Look at this. The paint is flaking off already.
Already.
On these fish. They are not going to stand up to combat for very long.
Nope.
I could have made a better fish is what I'm learning here. Because this looks like it's just made of like the kind of self-skinning foam that smooth on cells.
Uh-huh.
It even smells like it. You know that smell?
Oh, yeah.
You've used that stuff before.
All the time. So we...
Yeah, I thought it'd be cool to make monsters for movies. And I found out about this place, and, you know, it was a pretty quick turnaround on the old education there. Mm-hmm. That's how I wound up there.
Yeah. And then we met, and then we became, like, best bros. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think of my favorite Savini stories. Oh, you remember Gator Day?
Of course I remember Gator Day.
Yeah, that's the day that will live in infamy, I think. So... Basically, me and Ralph. What I love about Ralph is that he's like a kid at heart, just like me, and we just did dumb, silly, goofy shit all the time. And one day we decided to order gaiters, which, if you don't know, gaiters are like spats that cover your ankles, and we got really excited about them. And we dressed up, and I think it was at your student house. We threw a Gator Day party because we thought everybody else would be just as excited about our fancy ankle wear.
I think it's worth noting that we were drinking excessively.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I feel like that gives important context to this story.
This is true, especially for the next part. So nobody showed up, and we were really sad about it. And Ralph plays the accordion.
Badly.
Yeah, right. I think there's still some videos of this on YouTube, actually. But so we're like,
I really
well,
hope
it.
There aren't.
So we had like a bottle of brandy, and we were already sloshed. And we're like, fuck it. If nobody wants to come to our party, we'll take our party to them. So we traveled, we took
to the streets. We did.
And we went to all the different student houses.
And we had like a bunch of baby band instruments. Yeah, you know, like the two sticks where one of them's ridged and the other one's just straight, and you go like rick crack, rick crack, and the shaken egg, all the classics.
Yep, and it pretty much every house that we went to, there was at least one person that we got drunk enough to continue on with us, and it eventually turned into this drunken sloppy parade, the Gay Today parade.
But yeah, that was a good time. That was fun. Yeah, we were both so skinny and had so much hair.
Oh, God, the hair that we had?
Yeah.
You still got hair. I do not.
Yeah, it's going, though.
Yeah, well.
But yeah, like, I would never grow my hair to the length it was then, now, because I think it's really sad when people who are balding try to grow, like, shoulder-length hair.
I try to grow my hair out, and it looks like fucking Bill Murray from Kingpin, you know, like Krasley is. Like, I don't know what it is, but, like, my scalp is choking my hair, and it's just into...
The last time I saw Sig in person, I went over to his house, and he said that he is growing the hair from the back of his head. Like the back of the neck, you know, like the middle of the male pattern baldness donut to about a foot long so that he could brush it over the top of his head from the back to the front for some character you were doing.
Well, no, that was well, I mean, if you consider my real life a character,
Brandon, I strongly do.
You know, the swipe up was a bonus, okay? I was just growing a skullet because why not? it's the last haircut that I could pull off. I remember we haven't seen each other in like 5 years, and you just sit down and you're like, so the hair, why? I'm like, because, damn it. It's all I could grow.
Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah. Some other... fun highlights from Savini is we would play Dino Valley.
Yes, that was a tabletop role playing game that we made up that just used a bunch of Jurassic Park knockoff figures from the dollar store.
I think the main rule was just get really drunk as well. I think you remember.
So that's one of the important rules, is that as you drink, the empties become the jungle, so you're getting deeper into the jungle. I don't recommend that anybody drink as much as we used to back then.
No, that was an insane amount. Lion's Head beer. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Lion's Head and Moose Head.
Yeah. Oh, and then the Hobgoblin. I remember.
Oh yeah. I don't really drink that so much anymore. I was a big fan back then.
Yeah. I was a fan of how cheap Lion's
Head. It's killing me that I'm not throwing these fish yet, because I want to know how well they throw. But, like, I don't want to get up and get them again after I've thrown them. because I'm sitting here recording. And some of these I think are just going to be a bear because they're like,
it's going to take somebody out.
Oh, geez, no. It like starts throwing like an axe and then starts throwing like a frisbee.
Frizz axe.
This is the kind of content that people come to podcasts for.
Exactly.
They want to hear someone describing how well that, man, those throw badly, how well their fish throw. So, yeah, that was, we had like kind of a little team of guys when we were at school. It was you and me and our friend Dave, who now is like a one-man effects shop out in Oklahoma or wherever he lives.
Yep.
And this other guy, Eric, who was an Army Ranger.
Yeah, he was like the muscle of the group.
Yes. And at first, when we first met him, we didn't want him to be our friend. I think he knows that. He just like, he decided that he saw the three of us work and he was like, those guys are doing good work. I'm going to sit with them because I'll learn the most being around them. And we were like, we don't want to be around you. And he's like, well, too bad. But we grew to love him.
I remember that. That is totally how that friendship played out. Yeah, it was very much like, maybe we don't want to hang out with this guy. But he's like, nope, I'm here.
Cheese sticks. You just got to deal with it. Cheese dick. Somebody sent me a picture. Yeah, no, I love Eric.
Yeah.
But yeah, somebody sent me a picture of a product called Stay Fresh Cheese Bags.
Stay Fresh Cheese Bags, huh?
With the comment underneath it, well, I know what I'm saying when I leave a room now.
That's a good one.
Stay fresh, cheese bags. see, now the striped bass, those throw really well. I don't know how to get like a boomerang throw to make the fish come back to me, but...
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe add some... Well, no, they already have fins, so I don't know.
I guess if I like tape them together at the right angle.
Oh, there you go. Do you have any other Savini nuggets?
Let's see. A lot of it's a blur. Were you ever in the pool that we bought?
No, I was not.
So my housemates and I went to Kmart in the beginning of the summer, and we bought this like 16-foot pool for $200. We all pitched in.
Oh, jeez.
And as we were driving back to our house, the one guy, Tim, who lived there, he was reading the receipt, and he was like, if not completely satisfied within 90 days, return for full refund. And we were like, well, 90 days is the whole summer. So we kept the box and the receipt, and we set up this pool in our yard. And I just like, I skipped class for 2 days straight and did nothing but float in a tube, drink cheap beer, and read X-Men comics.
I remember that. I was like, where the fuck is Ralph? Oh, yeah, he's just in his fucking Walmart pool for some reason.
Yeah. And then our landlord found out about it, and he came to the door. Like, we only had it for about a week, and he was like, what makes you think you could have a pool? And I was like, I don't know. Doesn't say in the lease we can't. And he's like, yeah, it doesn't say you can't set the place on fire, but you're expected not to do that. And I was like, well, all right, those are very different. Anyone could have a pool. And he's like, you got to take it down. And I was like, all right. We were going to have a going away party for the pool that night. And then when I got home from class, he had sent his goons up to my house to empty the pool and tear it down while I was gone.
No.
Yeah. So that was the end of that. But we said we took it back to Kmart in like this badly fucking taped together box. Like it was all wet and like the shit didn't fit in it properly. And it's all wrapped in tape. But all the pieces were there. And we brought it back and we were like, hey, can we return this? And the 16-year-old employee looked at it and went, yeah, I don't care. So like no money was lost.
Clearly you guys didn't enjoy this at all.
Yeah, I mean, no money was lost, and we had a pool for a week, so yeah, seems perfect, really.
I'm sad that we never, when you took us out to your LARP, we never got to do the group of goblins that we wanted to do. Remember, we were all sculpting our goblin appliances?
That's right. That was the plan, and then just turned out to be, like, I went out there with Dave and Eric to do that.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I was like, you guys actually did it, and I was, like, super fucking sick or something.
And so it was mostly just Dave and I. It was mostly Eric and I. Wow, I'm still getting their names backwards. That was endless. But, yeah, it was mostly just Eric and I. Dave, like, slept in his cabin for almost the whole thing.
Why would you even go out there?
I don't know. You came out with me a different time with Lurch and my girlfriend at the time.
Yeah, I remember I got to play a sword, a floating sword.
That one, it's the striped bass that are the good ones. I'm the still throwing
for close
fish.
Range.
Yeah, they really are. I don't think those like kind of hatchet shaped ones are good for throwing at all. But yeah, no, that was a fun weekend.
I remember just being so confused by the combat, and I don't know, people are just hitting me, and I was like, okay, I guess I'll just fall down. I guess I'm dead. I don't know.
That's the right thing to do.
Yeah, I don't know how people keep track of all that shouting and numbers.
I mean, you just do your best. Just like in life.
Should make it cinematic.
Yeah.
So, okay, so we part ways at Savini School. I moved to L.A., and then you end up on an awesome TV show, Cake Boss.
And you ended up on an awesome TV show.
I did. We split ways, and we both became, I guess, reality TV stars.
In minor television personalities.
Yes. Care to explain how that unfolded?
That was a wacky thing. I just told this story on another show like a week ago. So this is going to be the super short version. But my cousins won a trip to the bakery, and they took me with them. And the cake boss saw me like playing with the modeling chocolate, and he asked me if I wanted a job. And then I started working there the next day.
So you just grabbed his chocolate and started playing with it?
Yeah, I was doing like little sculptures with the modeling chocolate. He's like, "That's pretty good. You do people?" And I was like, "Yeah." And I did like a little bust of him, like a piping bag and a cake. And then I got a call from them on the drive home, and they asked me to come in the next day, and I've been working there ever since.
Wow. And was the show already filming there?
Yeah, they had just started. The second season was on the air. They did the first two seasons in the first year because the show was like hot. It was a big hit when it started.
Yeah.
And so they were already shooting the third season, and I was there from almost the beginning of the shooting of the third season. So they like introduced me in the first episode that season, and then I became like part of the regular cast.
Nice. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't. You seem destined for TV of some sorts.
Yeah, I'm an ass.
You were on that for a while. You're still on it, right? It's still an ongoing thing.
There is one more season that is currently airing right now as we speak, Saturdays at 9 on Discovery Family.
Nice. I had that one in the chamber.
Yeah. And then after that, we did a bunch of like spin-off shows, but one of them got some traction, which was we did a show called Buddy versus Duff on Food Network, where my boss and I, us from Cake Boss, went head-to-head against Duff Goldman from Ace of Cakes, which was a very similar show, and his guy, Jeff. And it was a competition, and that was like a big hit for Food Network. That was their biggest hit in 7 years, they said.
Nice. And then that already wrapped up, right?
Yeah,
I need to go back and watch it because I missed it. I know last time I saw you, you were like in the middle of filming it, I think, or...
Yeah, I was in LA shooting that show, and that was when I got to come see you.
Yeah, that was an odd night. We ended up hanging out with Madonna's makeup artist, and
oh yeah, they were great.
Yeah,
and who else was there? Comic Book Girl, yep. Some Number, and Chrissy Lynn, and
yep,
yeah.
We went to that Mos Eisley's, and then didn't we look for like a strip club or something, and then it was closed, or
we got inadvisably drunk.
Yeah. that's most of the stories. that's how they go.
Yeah,
and then
I'm
we
not
were really
a
drunk.
Great picture of myself here. But that was a really tough shoot. That was really hard. And like I we were doing like 16-18 hour days sometimes. And then like when it was over, I would just pound a couple of drinks, fall asleep, and do it again. And like I had a chance to meet up with some people that like. Out on that coast that I had wanted to meet. I ran into Steele Saunders from the Steel Wars podcast. He's this Australian comedian who talks about Star Wars.
Nice.
And by the time he showed up, I was already tanked. So probably didn't make a great first impression there.
Got any like fun, exciting moments from the Buddy versus Duff? Any fun stories?
No.
No.
Yeah, man, it was horrible.
Yeah,
like I love the show was great, and I would do it again in a heartbeat. But good God, that was grueling.
Just the timeline.
Yeah, just the amount of work and the time we had in which to do it. It was brutal. We went to a dog spa. We made a cake for a dog's birthday and delivered it to a dog spa. That was fun. I didn't know that dog spas existed.
You know, it's LA. Yeah, of course they exist.
And then what was the other? I met Penn and Teller. That was pretty cool.
Oh, cool. Are they cool in real life?
Yeah, I mean, they're old men, you know, but they're cool. They're a little cranky, but they're very funny.
Yeah, I always worried that they seem like they might be kind of jerky. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's kind but, of, I mean, well, I guess that's his, like, that's his whole thing, sort of.
Yeah, Penn was very nice. I talked to, so I'm actually a big Penn and Teller fan.
Yeah.
Along the doorway. We were at the Magic Castle,
mm-hmm.
which is this, like, magician's clubhouse in L.A. for people who don't know. It's this cool place. And we're standing in one of the doorways, and Buddy and I are both, like, wearing suits at the time. We look nice. So I was like, hey, let's get a picture together. And as we're doing that, Teller comes walking by. And I was like, hey, would you mind taking a picture with us? And he's like, not at all. And he goes and he stands in between the two of us, and we take the picture. He does, like, a big face. It's a great shot. And as he walks away, I say, thanks, Penn. And he turns and looks at me and just says, Teller. And then walks off. And I was like, ah, and like I know which one is which. I know who you are.
Whoops.
I'm just gonna dig myself a shame hole and bury myself with embarrassment dirt.
Oh man. Yeah, I don't know what I would have done. I would have been very embarrassed.
I wanted to die. Still do. But that's unrelated.
Oh,
that's
just don't world, say you know? That.
I mean, like, you know.
I've been following the drama unfold of your... So you started a campaign to get Mattel to send you a figure of... what's his name?
Oh, John Hammond from Jurassic Park?
Yeah. And
yeah.
And you got it. They sent it to you.
They did. Yeah, look at that. I am exactly famous enough to get an action figure from Mattel. So yeah, they had like a pre-order for it. It was John Hammond is the eccentric billionaire from the Jurassic Park films who built Jurassic Park. He's the little old man in a white suit. And when the movie originally came out, Kenner didn't make an action figure of him. And I always felt like he was kind of missing from the lineup. And then when Mattel got the license, this is going to get real exciting. So strap the fuck in. When Mattel got the license, they started making really great figures, you know, and they announced that they were going to have John Hammond with his like cane with the amber at the end with the little mosquito in it. And he had like the like raptor eggs with like the hatching baby raptor from that scene in the movie. And I was like, that rules. I would like to have that, please. And they're like, well, you can if you're going to San Diego Comic-Con. I said, I'm not. And they're like, well, don't worry about it. You can pre-order one online. And then if someone's going to the convention, they can just swipe their badge at the booth and send it to your house. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's nice. Okay. It sold out in 2 minutes.
Oh, shit.
So I sent them a message on Instagram. I was like, hey, can I please have one of these? I really want one. I'm on TV if that makes a difference. And then the woman who was their brand manager for a while, she got in touch with me. She was like, Ralph, I want to help you if I can. And I was like, okay, thanks, Britt. And her name is Britt. So, and then I got an email a couple of weeks later from somebody at Mattel being like, hey, do you have an address that we could send you a John Hammond action figure at? And I was like, yes, I fucking do.
As it turns out, I do.
Yeah. Like, no, sir, I'm homeless. It's just me, homeless with a smartphone, complaining about not having toys.
If only I had that toy, it would completely change my life.
Yeah, it's really brightened up this cardboard box in which I live. You know what? Here's an address you can send it to the library in Jersey City. They'll hold it for me. Sometimes I get packages there. Adult videos, because this is still the 1990s. I put them in a VCR.
I'm just now realizing that if you were an eccentric billionaire, you would have your own Jurassic Park.
Oh, you absolutely fucking know that I would. I've talked about this like any of those times when like you're sitting down with somebody like, what would you do if you were just loaded? Or like, I would buy a bunch of those life-size animatronic dinosaurs and set them up in my yard. And you'd be like, oh, that's so cool. The neighborhood kids could come and hang out there. Not if I saw them. They'd have to be pretty fucking sneaky because they are not allowed. Those are my dinosaurs.
I feel like you'd have a complete team of people hired on call at any given moment to work them. And then if they're not moving when you see them, you like come out and beat them.
Security people around my mansion would all be dressed like safari people. How are the dinosaurs today? They're doing just fine, Mr. A. Ah, good.
Stegosaurus looks a bit skinny. What's wrong? What's wrong with him?
Not eating those West Indian lilac berries, is she?
Oh, shit.
No, we know they're toxic, but the animals don't eat them.
So were you were just always a dinosaur kid, huh? Just from
I was always a dinosaur kid.
Yeah. What's your favorite dinosaur?
That's none of your goddamn business. maybe Pachyrhinosaurus. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Looks like Triceratops, but instead of like the big brow horns and the horn on the nose, it's got a big gnarly boss. It looks like half a walnut shell, but huge, just on its schnauzer.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Why does that why is he your favorite?
It's cool. I like the Ceratopses in general. Like, Triceratops is great. You know, that's the brand ambassador. That's the one everybody knows. But then he's got all his wacky cousins who just ordered extra spikes.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I never thought about the Ceratops as a suffix.
Yeah, horned face. They're the Ceratopsians and the Ceratopsids. And there's two major groups of them. There are the Centrosaurinae and the Chasmosaurinae, and half of them are defined by having larger nose horns and smaller, like, sort of frills, and then the other ones tend to have big brow horns, but not so much the big nose horns. And it's a very large family of animals. It's not interesting.
you clearly have not listened to my podcast yet.
I haven't.
Yeah, no, this is awesome. I'm always sneaking in, learning stuff in there too. So this is perfect. So, coming from an expert, why don't we have Jurassic Park by now?
Well, because DNA really only lasts, like, under exceptionally good conditions. It only really can be preserved for a few thousand years.
Ah, so we haven't found that mosquito in the amber yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, the last dinosaur, like, the non-avian dinosaurs went extinct, you know, 65 million years ago. And even if you found a mosquito that had like a belly full of dinosaur blood when it died, that stomach is also full of digestive acid.
Oh, yeah. So I guess that wouldn't even work.
Yeah. You know, if Jack Horner, as a paleontologist, famously said in one of his TED Talks, if you drill into a piece of amber with a mosquito in it and clone what you get inside, you get a room full of mosquitoes. You know any jokes?
I'm sure that you got plenty of them.
I don't know any jokes. I don't know jokes.
Oh, that's a joke right there. It's the best one I've heard all day.
Wow. Did you see that Godzilla movie where all those monsters were fighting?
No, I did not. I'm really sad about that one.
Saw it twice times.
Have you seen the Boys yet on Amazon Prime?
No, I haven't.
You're making a face like you're not going to.
I don't know, man. I keep hearing that it's like just okay.
Really? You must have very particular friends, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, some of them are. Some of them are not. Yeah, you know, there's people who are like, oh, man, you definitely got to see Rocket Man. Like, what, the Harlan Williams movie where he sneaks on board a spaceship to Mars with a chimpanzee? Yeah, that one. Gold if you haven't seen it. All right, I'll watch it. Oh, this is bad.
Oh, man, I remember that. There was like, what was that, like 90s or something?
Yeah, like late 90s. There were a couple of Harlan Williams movies back in the 90s.
I feel like there was the trope of just like, let's get one weird, goofy guy and then put him in a bunch of different movies, kind of like following the trend of Ernest or
Rob Schneider.
Yeah. But it was like, you could consider it its own genre, like silly guy in scenario genre.
All right, we're doing one of those silly guy movies. He's a silly guy. He's got some quirks. He's not great in a lot of situations. What's he doing? Go, you. What is he doing? What's a hard job not everyone could do? He shouldn't be doing it. He's silly. What do you got? Like astronaut? What? Lay it on me. Writing movies? That's perfect. We're going to Dimbo makes a movie. beloved character Dimbo.
What's that guy? The guy in Cabin Boy.
Oh, that guy!
Right, that guy. He's just one of those silly guys.
I can't. I'm gonna. You're gonna make me look it up.
I figured you.
Is Cabin Boy good? I haven't watched it in like 30 years.
You know what? I used to love it. I thought it was real good, and then I watched it recently, and it does not hold up.
Yeah, I was afraid of that. So Chris Elliott, that's his name. The actor who played Dimbo in all those movies.
Wasn't he in Bushwhacked or something like that, too? It was an outdoorsy caper.
Yeah, this is going to be – we're going to do a deep dive on Chris Elliott movies now. So if you weren't strapped in for the the other talk, then I tell you, we had a Pogs tournament recently.
I saw the talking about the
'90s. Yeah, man. I was in Target, and they're selling. I have a big hole in the crotch of my pants right now. I'm wearing Lightning Bolt underpants. Not the band Lightning Bolt. They just have lightning bolts on them. Oh. Anyway, what are we talking about? I was in Pogs. Target.
Yeah.
They're selling fucking Pogs again, and I was like, "This is pretty great." So I bought some Pogs. I showed my friends a picture of the Pogs. I said, I bought Pogs. Let's have a tournament.
And pretty good turnout.
Yeah, we had about 14, 15 people. We had like a big double elimination bracket. I think there were 28 rounds.
Ooh.
That was a blast. And if you have the chance to organize a Pog tournament with your friends, do so.
I'm pretty sure.
I had like some.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I don't remember what I was going to say.
No, you're lying.
Yeah. So I went to there's this website that makes custom Pogs.
Nice.
It's called CustomPogs.com. There's a free plug for you there, custom Pogs. And I had a set of six custom Pogs made up for the Jersey City Pog tournament. And I just drew like six different designs, and then I got 20 sets of them and gave them out to the people who entered the tournament. That was fun.
You know, I think they only make Pogs for our generation. I don't think any kids these days are gonna go for Pogs. I don't know.
I don't know. They were selling the back of the canister or whatever, they're really selling it like, you know, like, parents, teach your kids how to play Pogs. It's a fun game for the whole family because we're parent age now. And I don't know, man. There's a what I found. Uh-huh. So there's a big difference between two people sitting down and playing Pogs because the game's not complicated. If you're listening to this and you don't know how this game works, you take they're cardboard discs about, I'd say, like 42 millimeters across. And they have pictures on one side of almost exclusively skulls, yin-yangs, eight balls, and bombs.
You just literally described every single Pog I've ever seen in my life.
Yes. Or the Lion King. That's the other thing that's acceptable on Pogs, because it was 1994.
And some
everything
some
old is new again. Time is a flat circle. Yeah. So you stack up about, you each put in the same number, between 5 and 10 generally, and you make a stack. And then you take a heavier Pog, usually made of metal or plastic.
Called a slammer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you throw it down at the pile, and whichever ones flip over, you keep those, you stack up the rest, and you do it again until they're all gone. Whoever has the most Pogs at the end wins. So there's a big difference between two people sitting down playing this game, because that's it. It's you're just throwing a coin at a bunch of paper tokens. But as soon as it becomes like a tournament, then shit gets real. People like a tournament, man. It's competitive. Like, you don't want to get eliminated. You want to be in it.
Especially,
you
want to
win.
The game already harkens you back to being a kid. You can't handle that embarrassment.
No, and there are some people who had like never played before, but because the barrier to entry is so low, you're like, I just throw the thing at the other. Yeah, I could play that. So everyone's in. You know, like it's. And the rounds move pretty quickly because a game of Pogs takes but a couple of minutes. So, yeah, that was exciting. It was fun. We had a really good time. And I think now we're going to do another one in the fall, but like open it up to the public and do it as a fundraiser for Toys for Tots.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. A friend of mine already found like a liquor vendor who wants to, what's the thing? Sponsor it.
Nice. See, totally proving my point. totally geared at our age bracket.
Yeah. Fuck it, man. I'll if I get to raise money for Toys for Tots by wearing my 90s bully outfit and playing Pogs.
Did you have the ones that had like the groove for your fingers in them? Like the real fancy slammers?
Slammer. Yeah, I got a couple of those. Yeah, I had one of those.
I had a...
It was like neon yellow with like reflective like purple-pink illustration of like a howling wolf face.
Fuck yeah.
And the back of it had that little butt cheek divot for your two fingers.
Dude, I had a like a ninja star one that was actually like cut out like a ninja star.
I just got one of those.
Oh, they're fucking off sweet, of eBay. Dude.
They're like heavy brass. It's got like a skull peeking through it, like it's ripping it open and looking out.
I think you got the fucking same one that I did. Yeah, that's exactly the same thing that was on it.
Hang on, I'm gonna
get the fuck out of here. Are they still making those?
Where's my bag? No, I bought it on eBay. It's an old one. Hang on.
Oh, yes. I need to see it because I think that's... Oh, my God.
All right. I just got my tube of Pogs here.
Pog. I had the... oh, yes.
Was it? I don't know if you can see it.
Oh, no. It wasn't that at all, actually.
Oh.
But that one's fucking sweet.
Yeah. There you go. You can see it.
Yeah.
People at home can't, though. I'll take a picture of it and show it to everyone.
That one's all it's all like galvanized and with age.
Yeah, I agree. It's pretty sweet.
My last episode, I was just reminiscing about strange old things, and I didn't talk about Pogs. That's funny.
A strange old thing like us.
Yeah.
I just burped directly into the microphone. I was distracted by looking at my cool slammer and forgot that you're not supposed to burp directly into the microphone. So I was doing a guest spot on a podcast called the Ninja Turtles Minute, where they review the Ninja Turtles movies 1 minute at a time.
Oh, shit.
So like each episode is a review of 1 minute of the movie.
Oh, and wow. So they go through every minute of the movie.
Right. Sequentially from the first to the last. And I was on a few episodes of that and I was talking to them and I farted and I was like, that was pretty quiet. Probably didn't get picked up. And then I looked at the waveform of the like recorded sound and I could see the fart right there. It was real small, but it was there. And I was like, son of a bitch. And then I told them that. And we all laughed. And they're like, yeah, podcasters know what their farts look like. And I thought for sure that they would like cut that out. But no. Do you know what they did? They made it louder. They found it. They amplified it. And then they took a screenshot of the waveform of the fart, circled it in red, and put it on social media to promote the episode.
That's pretty great, actually.
Sons of bitches.
I'm just getting into the podcast community. This is the 23rd episode that I've done so far.
You've done 17 more than my podcast, The Movie Mandate.
Oh, the Movie Mandy?
Movie Mandate.
Oh, Movie Mandate. What's your podcast about?
Oh, it's over now. It's been over for years. My old roommate Russell and I would go to see a movie and then talk about it.
Oh, I gotcha. What's
we would take each other on a mandate.
What do you think the most bizarre film you've ever seen is?
Pink Flamingos? Is that?
That's a good one. That's pretty wacky. I'm all about some John Waters.
Yeah, I don't know. The most bizarre film I've ever seen. I don't know. I can tell you what the most unexpected delight was.
Yeah. Hit me with it.
Paddington.
I think I started watching that, and something about it was like so endearing that I got caught up in it, too.
I tell you what, Paddington is good. Paddington 2 is excellent. Like, Paddington was unexpectedly good, and I was really charmed by it and, like, just taken along for this lovely ride, even though it was a little tonally kind of weird and some of the comedy bits don't land so well. Paddington 2? My God. The movie's amazing.
Well, I have to...
And then at the end of the movie, I'm not going to spoil it, but at the end of the movie, there's a cry coming.
Okay.
You know, like, there's a cry. And... I'm sitting there and I know it's coming and I can't stop myself from getting choked up. And I'm like, oh, I'm sitting here watching Paddington 2 in the theater. I am about to cry and there's nothing I can do about it. And then I started laughing a little bit because I felt so ridiculous. And then I heard like another similar kind of choked up laugh from a couple of rows ahead of me. And then there was just this wave of it through the theater as all of the adults who were there either with their kids or just by themselves, because I guess for millennials, there's no longer a line between things for children and things for adults. Like, that's been obliterated.
Yes, that's.
And so we're all just sitting there laughing at ourselves because we know that we are about to cry at Paddington 2 and there is nothing we can do about it. And then like a week later, I was at work and I just thought about the ending of the movie too hard and started crying again.
You know what movie does that for me is Wreck-It Ralph, the first one.
Really?
Yeah, dude, I don't know what it was, but I lost it. I like heavy hard cry when he just, well, I don't want to spoil it, but in the end, he just wanted
that
to be a good guy.
That movie came out 5 years ago, man. I think you're okay.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. He just wanted to be a good guy, man. Like, and he was just going to kill himself just to be a good guy, and that's all he wanted.
But that's what made him a good guy.
I know. Yeah, I know. And that's what part of what made me – see, I can't even think too hard about that one. That's going to get me going. I'm going to let that one go.
That big eyeball on your hat's already tearing up.
I know. You know what movie was that tricks you? I thought Coco was going to come out real hard right out the gates with the cry, like, up.
Yeah.
But they're like, nope, not till later.
Yeah, they save it till the end. Yeah. Man, I was ugly crying at the end of that movie.
There's like a point of no return where you feel your face all contorted and you're like, yeah, this is like, so dumb.
Remember me.
So, Sideshow Days. Come on, hit us with some wacky sideshow stories.
I don't know, man. That's getting sad. All those guys are starting to die.
Aw.
Because they're all quite old. Like, my boss was like, the guy who ran the show was this old carny named Ward Hall, who was like the original showman. That guy was a hoot. You should look up, say, if you get a chance, if you're listening at home, Google Ward Hall, WARDHALL. He is such a character. Or he was. He died recently, last year, I think. But yeah, he was a hoot. You know, like I'd wake up every, and that job was hard. You wake up at 6 to get the show already, and then, you know, you're performing until the carnival ends at night, which, you know, sometimes it's midnight. Rough job. But I spent every day out on the front stage with a 76-year-old fire-eating little man named Poobah. Had a big cyst on his forehead, like some kind of giant goiter or something. He had a voice like he lived in the bottom of a fish tank. And like little black hippo teeth, like little pegs for teeth, because he spent every day of the last 50 years of his life eating fire and ham sandwiches. That guy was great. He had his social security number and my boss's phone number tattooed on his left forearm in case he got lost.
What? No way.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah. Like, we'd wake up in the morning and Ward would just, you know, like, I'd get up super early. I'd haul up the banner line, you know, all those big, like, hand-painted sideshow banners.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to go out and, like, haul those up with the ropes out in the front of the show and, like, tie them off and set up the ticket booth. Then I could go back and sleep for a little bit longer. But when it was time to get going, Ward would just come shouting through the tent. He'd be like, "Showtime in 5 minutes. I want to see all the girls in feathers." And that was it. You know, and it was on. I got a pretty good sideshow story.
Okay.
So the guy Tommy Breen, who was the stage manager at the time, he's the head of the show now, was doing this human pincushion act that he wanted to try out. You take these long surgical steel needles and slide them just right through your cheeks, you know, because that, you don't, I guess it doesn't hurt that much and it heals pretty quickly. Mm. But to really sell it, what he wanted to do was this thing he'd heard about, where like you do that, you pierce the cheeks, and then immediately afterward you fill your mouth with milk and you puff up your cheeks, blow out, and it comes out the little holes before it close this up real quick, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sitting backstage and I'm listening as he goes out and he does this, and you can hear, he's like, "All right, I'm gonna pierce the cheeks now," and he slides it in, and you hear the crowd go, "Oh." And then he does the thing with the milk. And he's like, ugh. And he comes in. He's like, that was pretty good. I think, you know, it just kind of dribbled out a little bit. I think next time I'm going to do it real hard. And it'll really squirt out. And it'll gross him out. So,
no.
I was sitting backstage. And
out of all the places, yeah, I think this story could go, I have no idea.
I'm sitting back there with the girls, and you know, we're like smoking a cigarette and passing around snacks and talking, and we just hear like, and now I'm gonna pierce the cheeks, and we hear like, ugh. He's like, and now, and then the crowd is like, and they're like disgusted, and he comes walking back with this big smile on his face, and we look up at him and just all go, because the milk, instead of squirting through the holes in his cheeks, had just soaked into the adipose tissue in his face. Like, because he had a little chubby face.
No!
And it just soaked into the fat in his face and, like, swelled his face up. Like, Brando in The Godfather. Like, from the bottom of his, like, from his jawline all the way up to his eye sockets. He was just all squishy and fat. It was disgusting. It took like 2 days for his face to go back to normal.
Oh my god.
That was a good one.
Did you tell me a story once about your boss getting into a drunken fist fight with a chimpanzee?
Who had the fist? Somebody.
Or was that somebody else?
No. Yeah. He had. I forget how this started. I know it ended up where he got in a. It was like a little. It was a quick altercation, not with a chimp, with an orangutan. And like he just he had punched it because it was like playing with him too hard. You know, I think I don't remember the exact story anymore. I haven't thought about that in a long time.
I thought you said something that's how they train him or something, or
Maybe he was training it or something, but it was getting like too aggressive, and so he like gave it just a punch across the jaw, like cold cocked it. And when it came to, it was like really mopey. And so he poured a couple of shots and he gave it a shot. The two of them sat there and drank whiskey and he petted on the back to cheer it up.
Well, that story was actually way better than I remember.
Yeah, that was Chris Christ. He's this Chris is an old, he had, when I first met Chris, he was wearing a sweater and just a pair of like stretched out old briefs. And he was sitting on the couch. He had a banana in one hand and a cigarette in the other. And I knocked on the door of his trailer and he got up to greet me. And he walks to the door and he's like, oh, you're there. Goes to shake my hand and he realizes he has a banana in it. So he holds out his other hand. He sees he's got a cigarette in it. And he just like kicks his elbow around and just sort of like points his elbow at me for me to touch, I guess, as a handshake. He's like, come inside. And that was my introduction to Chris. No pants, no fucks given, banana and a cigarette, elbow handshake.
Do you ever plan on writing an autobiography? Or
absolutely not.
No? But you've had such an interesting life.
Yeah, but I can't remember most of it anymore because I used to drink a lot.
That's why you got to think real hard.
I'm going to have to ask other people. Like, I'm going to have to, if I were going to do that, I'd have to interview people I know and get their take on what my life was because I don't remember anymore. I was bad in my 20s.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, you were literally there for some of it.
I was, yeah. So, all right, so you go to art school, to special makeup effects school, well, sideshow somewhere in between, and then Cake Boss, and then now what's next for Ralph?
I don't know. I got some irons in the fire. Some things that I'm working on that I can't really
talk about right
just
now.
Yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell you soon. Like, I can tell you when we're not recording, but
sure.
I told you about some of it. I got that one project I'm working on that I told you about before we started, and you know, I've had a couple of meetings. I'm trying to. Yeah, man, I really can't tell you about almost any of it.
That's okay.
Yeah, this isn't the end of old Ralph, but you know, I'm trying to further my career, do some more stuff with. Now that we're partnered with Food Network, trying to do some stuff with them. You know,
they need to give you your own show.
Yeah, it's hard coming up with one. like I had a meeting with some people there, and they're like, if you ever have any ideas for something you want to do, let us know. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And then I sit down and I'm like, I got no idea. I don't know.
I guess, yeah, I kind of ran into that too, post Face Off. That was like, there was an opportunity, and then I'm trying to come up with shows, and I'm like, you think once you get that offer, you're like, ah, oh, fuck it, I'll know. And then you're like, oh shit. Yeah, what would I even do?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough out there. Yeah. You know, you just gotta hustle all the time, and you don't. For every like 100 things you try to get done, sometimes one of them comes through, and you can't let that get you down. You just gotta keep pushing, and it is hard. Mm-hmm. But I still work at the bakery. I still make chocolate sculptures, which is nice.
What's your favorite chocolate sculpture you've ever made?
Favorite, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's tough. It's like Sophie's Choice, except I'm not talking about my children. There are no Nazis. And she probably cared about those kids a lot, and I don't really care about those sculptures once they leave the door. So it's not a lot like Sophie's Choice. I tell you, a cool one we did recently is not favorite, but we just made a big 4-foot crazy cake for Beetlejuice the Musical on Broadway. Nice. They just had their 100th performance, so we made like a big... you know, big green cupcake with like a black and white striped cupcake paper, and popping up out of it is one of the sandworms.
Nice.
Yeah, that was cool.
Oh yeah, I think I saw that one. That was awesome.
Yeah, thanks. That was fun. What about you? What's going on? How's Tupac Shakurgi?
Oh, he's doing good. You know, just being a corgi.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna start putting him in music videos. So, like, for other episodes of the podcast, when it's just me talking, I make like dumb songs, and now I've been making music videos for the dumb songs.
Yeah, I saw the Culture Vulture one. That is upsetting.
I know, right? It came out as every bit as grotesque as I imagined them.
Yeah, I saw that makeup test that you posted on social media or whatever. You like just wearing the vulture face, and I was like, what the hell is this?
It actually worked a lot better than I thought. I just used some like Warbler. And then yeah. Just like melted it for a beak, and just shaved my head in like a shitty pattern, like a Dr. Phil donut.
What culture vulture?
Next one, I'm gonna do a phantom fingernail feeling.
What is that?
It's that that feeling you get when you clip your fingernails. You get that? It sucks.
Oh yeah, the freshly clipped fingernail.
Yeah, I hate it. It's that phantom fingernail feeling.
No good. Now I want to do a song, but we got no songs.
You should do a song.
I don't know how to, I got no songs in me, man.
Where's your accordion? I know it's nearby.
It's on the other side of the house. I haven't busted that out in a long time.
You want to give us a little ditty?
No, I don't.
You brought it up, though. So you're teasing me with the idea.
I left that life behind me, Brandon. I've always wanted I hope that when I'm old and, you know, living in some seaside town or something, some kids will come to me and ask me to help them save the world or whatever. Like, they're going to need my expertise, and I'm just going to look out at the sunset and go, ah, left that life behind me a long time ago.
I can see it. I can see that.
Is that a squad goals?
I think it's it would be more like mentor goals, the wise old dude. I see you finally jumped on the two-tone hair train.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That was your thing.
That was my thing. I was that guy. You still got, you got plenty of hair up there. What are you talking about?
But it's going in the back and getting a little...
Wow. That's where it like starts. Mine started...
A little squeaky spot.
Mine was an assault on all fronts, the back and the front. Totally flanked that shit.
Wow. Did you have that little Rob Corddry wisp in the front for a while?
Oh, yeah.
It was like just an island separated from the rest. Yes.
If I let it go, it's still there.
Bald so unicorn.
Yep. It's better to just shave it off.
Yeah. As the older I get, the more I realize that adulthood doesn't mean anything, and I can just do whatever I want. And like my look has been like skewing more punk in recent years, and like I'm disappointed that this didn't happen earlier, because I can't have a mohawk now. I could have two mohawks. I could have one in the front and one in the back with like a gap in the middle. But yeah, I can't. I sort of missed the train on that. I've never did that.
Yeah, I guess I never had a mohawk either. Everybody's like, you gotta have a mohawk at least once. Well, yeah. But I had a fucking skull it, though.
Counselor, like, there you go. Very few people will say that they had that.
No, it's good. I like seeing the style transition of Ralph.
It's been a whole thing.
Yeah, because the Ralph that I knew wouldn't have two-tone hair back in Savini days.
Yeah. How long do these usually go for? Are we nearly done?
We could be nearly done.
I'm a little bit hungry. I could, my belly cries out for foods.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for joining me, Ralph.
Oh, wow. Okay. We're just going to end here. Like we should have, do you have a segue or a transition?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I freeform these things. You got a segue?
No. You know the guy who invented those died on one?
Is that true?
Yeah. He drove it off a cliff.
Get out of here.
That's true. He was on one of the big wheel off-road segways, I believe, and drove the thing off a cliff and died.
I mean, that's a pretty great segue, though.
I'm just gonna double check this so I don't sound like an absolute ass. Oh, so he's not the guy who invented it. A British businessman who bought the Segway company died after riding one of the scooters off a cliff and into a river near his Yorkshire estate.
Oh, no.
Jim Heseldon, known locally as Jimmy, acquired the Segway company from its U.S. inventor, Dean Kamen, in December 2009. Yeah, and then in September of 2010, he drove it off a cliff and died.
Yeesh.
Oy vey.
Well, so where can people find you? That's a good one.
Well, you could go check out my, I do some cake and chocolate sculpting videos over on our YouTube channel that we have at the bakery. It's Cake House on YouTube. So search for Cake House and you'll find all of my fun chocolate sculpting videos. I got a couple of good ones on there. There's Make a Cake in the Shape of the Niffler from the Fantastic Beasts and How to Find Them movies.
Ooh.
And did a really cool Infinity Gauntlet cake with some hand-poured candy gems, and it's a lot of fun stuff.
Nice.
Cake House.
Cake House.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Cake Boss Ralph. And the rest of the time, you can mostly find me on the couch.
Nice.
Playing Red Dead Redemption 2.
I am scared
Super
of that
Mario
game.
Maker.
I can't even touch the Red Dead games. I'll get sucked in. I'll never leave.
Oh man, it's bad. The AI on the NPCs is too good. It's like, you know, I'll be getting on my horse and I'll press the wrong button and accidentally shoot off my gun, and then like someone in town will be like, "Watch it, he's got a gun!" And then like the sheriffs will come and they'll be like, "Oh, fuck me." And I have to ride out of town. Then I have to find a post office to pay my bail because now I'm wanted for causing a ruckus. Hey, like, I didn't mean to hit rectangle. I was trying to hit star.
Well, thanks for doing this. We're going to do it again.
Wait, real quick. Oh, okay, real quick. Yeah. You know how, like, on TV shows, they'll often have, like, a show within a show that they watch?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a favorite TV show or something that like they talk about on that show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've always been way more interested in what those are than whatever the show I'm actually watching is. Like, it's infuriating.
If we had a show within this show right now, what would it be?
I don't know. I'll think of a character, and you think of a character, and then it'll be those two characters.
Okay.
Okay, I got one.
Okay, I got a name. Okay, go hit me.
Yeah,
what do you got?
I do too. Okay, Sig. Neutron.
What? Cop out.
Oh, we could watch Encyclopedia Shitanica.
Oh, come on. I had Butch Rain Dance. Come on.
Oh, Butch Rain Dance. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And Skeezo the Dudes.
Butch and Skeezo.
Yeah.
What do they do?
They are exterminators at law.
I like it because
they work in a city that is it's nearly post-apocalyptic. It's overrun with giant radioactive insects, but they're also attorneys and they got a big case coming up.
Well, yeah, it's because bugs, new laws have passed and now they have squatting rights. So
some of them. And they're not very good attorneys. They get into lots of problems. They also got to get those bugs.
They have to legally exterminate bugs.
Yeah, there's a DA who's a big Millipede wears a suit and he's real cultured and he always gives them a hard time because he's so good at his job and they're just a couple of screw-ups, you know?
No, he's watching this show. You're right. I'm way more into this show now.
Yeah, so it's Millipede and he's the worst.
Millipede.
I'm picturing it in like the style of an Ugly Americans or a BoJack Horseman.
Absolutely, yeah. Now we got to make that. Now I have to have you back, and we'll just do a teleplay of Butch Starrett, Rain Dance, Butch Rain Dance, and Skeezo.
Butch Rain Dance and Skeezo the Dudes. Exterminators at Law.
I think we should actually do that, though.
Yeah. It sounds like a lot of work. Well,
you're right.
On that note, Brandon, it's been lovely having you on the show. Thanks for coming and talking to me for a while here on the Sig Neutron podcast that I have now.
You just stole that. It's so good.
Yep. And now the room I'm sitting in is all green spirals.
Yeah. Shit. No,
welcome to my kitchen, Sig. Or should I say, Ralph?
Whoa! Bum, bum, bum!
The end?
That was...
Question mark?
That's the cliffhanger that we end on.
Yeah,
join us next time.
Or don't. We're not the boss of you.
Nope. I'm always really bad at outros, by the way. So.
If you enjoyed the show, tell a friend about it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that costs you nothing, but it helps us out a lot.
That's true. Yeah. I usually go back and add that stuff later, but I don't know why I don't add it right now. You're right. Yeah.
Go ahead. All right, I'm going to pet my cat and get a beer.
All right, well, thanks for hanging out, Rob.
Yeah, I got to gather up all those fish I threw across the apartment in the first half of the episode.
I forgot all about that. That was like a whole other episode ago.
What a wild, wild ride this has been.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that, everyone, because I know I did. So if you dig my little podcast here, please share it, rate it, comment it, like it, tell a friend, because, as Ralph said earlier, it costs you nothing, but it helps us tremendously. So, yeah, hope you guys enjoyed that. If you want to catch more of me, you can catch me on Twitch, twitch.tv/SigNeutron, where I make art live and do other fun things. Also, I'm on the social medias, Twitter and Instagram, @SigNeutron. And as I mentioned before, definitely give the YouTube a follow and subscribe. It's youtube.com/bizarroagogo, bizarroagogo.com or something like that, or just youtube.com/bizarroagogo, sorry. Because I'm turning all the other episodes where I make funny songs and stuff, I'm making funny videos, and sometimes I make uplifting videos, so give that a follow too. All right. Until next time, everybody, stay weird, stay open-minded, and stay irreverent. I don't know. Shit. I got to think of the third one. Good night. Oh, good day.